Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
I'm no Jim Cantore, but I'm also 72, and I have to say this. Even though I'm not in tip-top shape and I can afford to lose a couple pounds, Tim Walz is 60 years old. I'm 72 years old and a battered performer. Tim Walz is 60 years old?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Same age as Brad Pitt, by the way. Let me just
repeat that.
Same age as Brad Pitt.
It's ridiculous.
It is. I want to get your thoughts. Yesterday, as a Temple alum, Leocora Center place was packed. Very busy day. J.D. Vance in South Philadelphia, your old stomping grounds. And then, of course,
ECW. I was going to go down there with Tommy Dreamer and then you know, bring a couple of chairs and ladders into the ring.
Yeah, baby.
Where's the Sandman and Sabu when you need them, Tony?
Oh, man. Those were the good old days, man.
That's
ECW
right.
Arena.
It's back when America was great. So Kamala Harris, Shapiro, Walz. To me, the whole thing comes down to this, Tony. Shapiro's the guy if he's not Jewish. Am I wrong?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, that's the sad reality. You know, and anybody who wants to deny it. And obviously, they made up with Shapiro, and he went out there and did his fake Obama bit again and screaming and yelling and going crazy. They let him go out there and go off for what, 10 minutes? Good for him. But the bottom line is this, they basically threw him under the bus to appease the squad. And by the way, everybody's talking about the big crowd. Remember, that rally was planned a week ago.
Thank you.
At the Leocora Center.
More than that.
No matter who the VP choice was going to be, that rally was already going to happen. It could have been Shapiro. It could have been anybody. And that place would have been packed because the Democrats were ready for it. They told everybody. Sherelle Parker ran that stupid promo over the week last Friday, pretty much saying that it was going to be Josh Shapiro. So everybody thought it was going to be Josh Shapiro. And then when they finally found a way to bury him and they staged those phony phone calls where Kamala Harris is calling what's his name up there? Tampon Tim up in Minnesota. All of a sudden, he jumps on a private jet and comes to Philly. I mean, it was the most staged thing ever. And listen, they did a good job putting it together. But if everybody's all upset, everybody's going crazy about Tim Walz. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. All you have to do now, and all Trump and the Republicans have to do, is focus on playing the tapes of Tim Walz and people in Minnesota who know him and know what he's about and know what he stands for. Because the same thing with Kamala Harris. Neither one of these clowns will have sat down with one media person. In fact, when they send you to their website, there's no, all is on there is how much you want to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
There's no actual game plan, no policy being addressed. It's just all smoke and mirrors, smiling and rallies, just like Trump. But here's the thing that you guys missed this morning, and it's not my style. I'm not criticizing. I'm making an observation.
Yeah.
While we're talking about, well, Trump's letting them steal all of his thunder. What we're forgetting is not everybody is on Twitter. Not everybody who's out on their summer vacation, some getting ready to go back to school, are thinking about this election. Nobody knows who Tim Walz is. I thought he was the guy that was in the in all those great movies as a Nazi. Remember? That's the great. What's the actor's name? He's a great actor. Walz is his last name.
No idea.
I can't think of it. Yeah, no. He's a fantastic guy. Michael? No.
No. People know what I'm talking about. And the other good thing is you had Cori Bush was eliminated yesterday.
Yep.
You had Jamal Bowman, Fire Alarm Bowman, knocked out.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah. Great actor. And so we're seeing the squad is losing its power, yet the Democrats handed over the vice presidential spot to a guy that is adored by the squad.
Right. That's what
he's going to turn Minnesota into Mogadishu. You know, he's going to give everybody tampons. And I don't know about you, but I've never met a young man or an old man who needs tampons in the bathroom.
Right.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you're exactly right.
So now here's the other part that I think everybody's missing about, you know, Trump and how many people show up at rallies. Nobody cares about that anymore. Well, while they're doing this, you know, staged rally in Philly yesterday, which was planned a week ago, and then Sherelle Parker gets up there and screams like a banshee. Sit down and shut up, all right, Sherelle? We already know your act.
Here's the thing with Sherelle Parker, and she was also on for quite a bit with Fake Strapper on CNN.
Fake Strapper.
But here's the thing with her. Just remember that much like, you know, you talked about Cori Bush being defeated, another squad Democrat, right, in St. Louis, boom, gets the boot after Representative Jamal Bowman. Mm-hmm. Think about what happened in Philadelphia here in blue Philly. Guess what? The ultra progressives, they got the boot here. Yeah. Sherelle represents, right, the reset with Democrat, the old school Democrats pushing the reset button, saying, no, we don't want that far left.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Exactly. And most people are in the middle. Most people aren't extreme left or right. But if anybody thinks that this ticket with Kamala and Walz is moderate, and the funniest part, I want to get to the Trump thing because I think it's an important note. Here you have everybody going crazy about this new ticket. But the interesting thing is, here's Nancy Pelosi, 84 years old, getting up every morning to go on Morning Joe, now that Joe Biden is completely hiding somewhere.
Okay.
Meanwhile, and Dr. Jill and Hunter are nowhere to be seen. Are they still at the Olympics? So Joe Biden, his favorite show is Morning Joe, right? He listens to it. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, why isn't Joe Biden going on a satellite link from Delaware or Washington, wherever he is, to give updates on the situation in the Middle East? Who's running the country, right? Mm-hmm. Who's in charge? Kamala Harris isn't running the country, right? Walz isn't running the country. He's not even running Minnesota. So who's running the country? If something happens and we have more violence in the Middle East and Israel retaliates or Hezbollah retaliates, who's going to be the one in control?
Yeah.
That's the biggest question. But now back to the how does Trump overcome all of this new fangled, oh, she's taking control and the country's going crazy. Yesterday, Trump was at Mar-a-Lago, and he invited this 23-year-old kid named Aiden Ross, who's a streamer, and he went to Mar-a-Lago. Now, of course, the left is complaining, well, he brought Trump a Tesla Cybertruck, and he brought him a Rolex watch for coming on his podcast. You know how many people watched that online yesterday? 100 million eyeballs on a 23-year-old streamer who has a lot of eyeballs.
Smart move.
And then the other big story is Trump and Elon Musk are going to sit down next Monday on Twitter for the first time. So tell me that's not going to reach a lot of eyeballs. So while everybody's worrying about what MSNBC has on and who Fox News has on and who's on what panel to discuss the impact of all of this, Trump's going to be reaching 300 million people next Monday night. He's on with these streamers. And it's not Trump because he's an old dude. Trump has people on his team who are looking at how do we reach the young people.
Yeah.
Yep.
And here's a kid who's 23, has 100 million followers, and that's what's going on. All of these streamers out there now want to sit down with Trump, and Trump is willing to sit down with them. So while everybody's talking about send money to Kamala and you go to their website and they have nothing on there except send more money and let's get white dudes. There are streamers now that the Democrats are trying to hire, and they're turning them down because they're not offering them enough money. These young guys are getting, they want Trump on their podcast.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Democrats are trying to get rappers and people to come on. But now that they know they were being paid, like Megan Thee Stallion, to go out and perform, everybody else is saying, well, where's my cut of, where's my cut of the check?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line here.
No, it's great
going
strategy.
On with Elon Musk is going to break the internet Monday.
Yeah.
That's something to look. That's going to break the internet.
Well, yeah, and Vivek Ramaswamy months and months and months ago during the primary season was begging Republicans, get more involved on TikTok. You need to reach this 18 to 29 demo.
Exactly.
So it makes sense. Hey, hold on. We're going to get some more of your thoughts on the other side. Obviously, you know, the Shapiro, Walls, Harris, Philadelphia dynamic, the Veep selection. And I want to kind of just hone in quickly here on the anti-Semitic stuff that's going on with this party. And you know it's bad when CNN's Van Jones is coming out and saying, we need to have a conversation about the anti-Jewish bigots in our party after Walls becomes the selection over Josh Shapiro. Jones said yesterday on CNN, quote, you can be for the Palestinians without being anti-Jewish and an anti-Jewish bigot, but there are some anti-Jewish bigots out there. And he went on and on and on about this. And I'm wondering how, you know, we talk about this Kamala Harris honeymoon thing. Does it come to a crashing halt in Chicago in about a week and a half if the expected pro-Palestinian demonstrations engulf Chicago and maybe take away some of the steam and the joy? I heard Tim Walz brings joy to the party. Yeah. Does that change next week at the convention?
Only if he brings Joy Behar and Joy Reid to the convention. Then the joy is gone. Two of the most joyless people on earth, if I may add a personal aside. But you know what? The thing is, they're going to try to coast into this convention without doing any sit-down interviews, right? Without giving any idea of what they plan to do other than abortion and tampons and transgender surgeries. I mean, when their top issues are not ones that 90% of the people have in their top 10 things that they care about, when they don't talk about the economy or their plans to fix it, this is what we're in right now. We're in a, we don't have to tell you anything because we've got momentum now. And sooner or later, they're going to have to sit down and answer tough questions. But in the meantime, the media keeps carrying water for them. And that's what they have going for them.
I have another observation regarding why Shapiro was not picked, other than the Jewish thing. Which,
well, he's smarter than Kamala, and he would outshine her.
He would outshine her. Kamala, if you look at her history, deep down inside, she has to be a very insecure person. I mean, that's one of the reasons why she laughs all the time. She's just a very insecure person because she knows better than anybody how she got to where she is. And Shapiro,
and how's that, Miss Robin?
Yeah, well, dude, I won't go into detail,
ladies,
but I have stories.
You guys discuss this.
Oh, come on, now. What's going on here?
No, yeah. Seriously, like I have stories from one of Tony, like brother from another mother, who owned a restaurant, who talked about.
We have a lot of inside San Francisco Bay Area.
We have a lot of inside information about this particular woman and how what she and Willie Brown did together.
We'll put this on the Kale and Company premium channel, $9.99.
Yeah. But from my point is, Shapiro was too ambitious. He outshines her.
Mm-hmm. And plus, Fetterman also was not in his corner, and he didn't want him there either.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Shapiro, I think, was way too much of a threat for her, and she didn't like it. So she had to pick somebody that would not outshine her.
The bottom line is this, guys. It doesn't matter that they push Shapiro out of the way. Most Jewish people will still vote Democrat.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. It doesn't matter what how they've become anti-Semitic, many of them. It doesn't matter how much the pro-Palestinian paid protesters go out in Philadelphia and any other city or even in Chicago at the upcoming convention. It matters because when it comes to voting, the same Jewish people who are being pushed out of their own schools, not allowed to go to their campuses, are going to vote Democrat. That's the bottom line.
Politics and sports and social issues once again colliding, Tony Bruno. Two things here on the same subject. A lot of backlash, even today, fresh off the weekend and what transpired late in the week last week at the Olympics, when a biological male basically TKO'd a biological female in all of 46 seconds. A biological male from Algeria against a female from Italy. And now you've had many people that usually would not agree with men not having a space in women's sports or working for a network that don't permit that type of language. You got Nicole Shanahan, who's the running mate with RFK, super left. She says male boxers in Olympics versus females is a soul-crushing thing to witness. And then yesterday, ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit, the face of college football for the network, was asked on Twitter if men belong in women's sports. He said, absolutely not. It's a ridiculous question. I think we're getting to the point now where you're starting to see some left-wing people out there or those who work for those networks that are saying, this is kind of ridiculous. Most of America agrees they should not be in female sports.
Exactly. And anybody who thinks that that's okay is not using their common sense. I mean, all the where are all the feminists? Where's Martina Navratilova? Where are all the Women's March people about this? And by the way, that dude won again yesterday. Yeah. So he's going to win a gold medal beating up women in the Olympics. And I don't care what he identifies as. It's a dude. It's a dude. Okay? I don't care if he was born part woman. That's the problem. We have to try to, you know, massage the numbers so that biological men can beat women at their own sport. The fact that we even have to discuss this just shows you where we are as a world right now, not just as a nation. The fact that the Olympics and the IOC have not said we can't allow this just shows you that the Olympics, unfortunately, have jumped the shark.
Well, the more insane thing is that the International Boxing Association said that he was not allowed. They did the testing.
Exactly.
The organization that normally covers boxing said no, yet the Olympics are saying, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. By the way, shout out to Santo at 3KC's on X today. He says, Greg Stocker, loving the Tony Bruno segment of the show this morning on my ride from Tucson to Phoenix. Lots of dirt house out here. So the fact that you can listen and participate on the 1210 segment or every morning on Kale and Company, no matter where you are, now that you got, you know, internet in your car, bam, lock
amazing.
It in.
It's amazing. And by the way, just a cheap plug here. We now have a voice message feature on the Odyssey app. So if you're listening on the Odyssey app, you see that microphone. So hit that microphone, leave us a voice message. We'll play it around 9:45 every morning. So
if you're a hot woman and you go into the bathroom and leave me a voicemail, how's that going to play?
It's going to play great.
It'll play perfectly at 9:45.
Absolutely. You can tell me. Everybody in the YouTube chat is telling me how my takes stink this morning.
Yeah.
So let me know on the voice message. Tell me how much.
Tell them
stink.
In person.
Thank
on the voicemail.
Have a take, don't suck. As Jim Rome once said, have a take, don't suck.
Now here's one thing, Greg. You need to stop saying press the like button because there's nothing that actually says like.
Oh,
It's the thumbs up.
Do that. Hit the thumbs up.
Yes. Just pound it, right, Dawn?
You want to pound it, and then here we go. Do like a dry rub.
Everybody's scolding me this morning.
It's like
not this reporter.
It's like study hall with Stalker.
Can I one real quick thing about the Algerian boxer?
Yes.
I went in sort of a deep dive because they're claiming that she is not trans, that she was born with
both parts.
Not necessarily both parts,
okay,
but that she was born with female parts, even though she's in a male body, if that makes sense. Now, my theory is that in Algeria, if that were known, that she would have been ostracized. So their parents just said, no, female parts, we're raising her as a girl. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. It doesn't play well over there.
Correct.
So I don't blame her and her family. I blame the Olympics for not taking that into consideration.
Exactly.
And 72% of people in the latest Rasmussen poll agree men have no business in women's sports. So this shouldn't be political, yet it is. Yet 3 out of every 4 Americans say, this is absurd. It shouldn't even be a controversial opinion. But again, Tony, this is the fringe left trying to force you to bend the knee and acquiesce to them when most people think they're the ones who are totally off the rocker with that opinion.
And the fact that people are afraid to say biological men don't belong in women's sports is just, to me, the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of dumb stuff. But this, you know, we have to have the conversation. We don't need to have this conversation. Men do not belong in women's sports, period.
Yep.
We're not going back. We're not going back. Whatever that means.
Any sport that requires strength, period. Men do not belong in women's sports. Now, I mean, right now they're...
What about if men have periods? And tampon Tim Walls says, I'm going to give every man who votes for us a box of tampons.
Right now, they're counting chess as a sport, right?
Yeah.
That one, I don't care. It doesn't require strength.
Right, it's all mental, for sure.
Yeah,
I totally got you there. One other one that we got to give you an update on, and we talked about this for probably way too long because I didn't think it was controversial, and it's also not really a political story, but it became political. Harrison Bucker, all the stuff that he went through after that commencement speech for saying, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, you know, my wife is a homemaker, she raises the family, and I think a lot of females growing up dream one day of being a wife and having kids and, you know, doing the mom and the wife thing at home, and the left tried to cancel him. So what does Andy Reid do? First of all, Andy Reid never bent the knee, stuck with his kicker, and now they have made him the highest paid kicker in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
How great of a story is that? Stick it right where the sun doesn't shine, cancel culture. Harrison
and then you
Bucker
got woke media people online saying it's unbelievable how when a player does, you know, does something good for the team, it doesn't matter what he does to hurt the team's image, you're going to pay him. He kicked two game-winning Super Bowl kicks in crunch time when it mattered.
Yep.
That's why he got paid, not because he's a happy family man who has kids. And then Trey Wingo, a guy who's faded faster than a tan in Florida in December, is out there trying to pick up some more woke points.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man.
Yep. And then Harrison Bucker, he negotiated that contract, the highest paying contract for a kicker, on his own. No lawyers, no agents, no nothing.
By the way, I do think it's a sin that kickers get paid more than morning radio hosts. I just want to know
how many game-winning field goal kicks have you made, Nick? How many clutch putts have you made to win the club championship, or the, you know, what do they call it? Are you a member guest?
How many
member guests have you won?
Zero, sir. They don't allow me in private facilities unless it's pro bono as a guest.
By the way, with this news of Harrison Bucker, are the Kansas City Chiefs a better organization than the Philadelphia Eagles?
6-1-0.
Well, you know, the Eagles are the gold standard, but
we got Saquon.
Andy Reid's got how many Super Bowl rings now?
Yeah, he's got a lot.
Yeah.
He's got a lot. Speaking of Philadelphia sports, we'll wrap with this, Tony Bruno. I know we got a win last night. Many people probably didn't see it because it was on the West Coast. But the Phillies are definitely leaking oil, and the Braves are within striking distance. You know, it's kind of, you look at the standings, and they're, what, 5-6, somewhere in that?
Six and a half up.
Yeah,
six and a half up. And they still have the most wins in the National League. And if they beat the Dodgers today, and they play well against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Matt Stram last night was good. Christoph Sanchez, they got like 14 hits. And they're controlling, you know, Otani, who had a home run the other night. But to me, these are those lulls you go through in the season. I mean, the Phillies are leaking oil, but they've won two now of the last three after the horrific stretch. So I think once these guys get settled again and we start heading, you know, to the crunch time, because every team goes through this during the course of the season.
Yeah, dog.
And so the White Sox just lost, what, 21 straight games? So the Phillies aren't going to lose 21 games. They've gone after the All-Star break and all these moves and changes in the bullpen and adding different guys. I think they'll settle down. I'm not worried about them. And by the way, if they beat the Dodgers today, then and they wind up with the same record at the end of the season, the Dodgers and the Phillies will have the advantage.
They already clinched that last night.
Are you sure?
No, game three
I thought
is
if they.
No, I think that they clinched it last night. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe.
No, I read this. I read the game story.
All right.
It said today in the game story on NBC Sports Philly, where obviously they have the coverage.
Obviously.
That if they beat the Dodgers today,
tonight,
then at the end of the season,
gotcha. Yep.
The Phillies would have the advantage.
Because
in head-to-head competition.
Yeah. All right. So here's the poll question. The Braves, 6.5 back of the Phillies, Trump, 6.5 back of Kamala in Virginia. Who closes the gap first?
Well, Trump. I mean, the polls change every day. Okay, so everybody who sits around and waits for polls, the only polls I wait for is lunchtime at Lou Turk's up there in Fulcroft, up in that area, you know, near the airport when I'm, you know, waiting for a flight and delayed. Those are the only polls that matter to me.
Amen.
Thank you. But you know, everybody who goes crazy over daily polls, it's ridiculous.
Great stuff, brother. Good stuff. Tony Bruno, so the storms are blown by. You're good, right?
Everything? No, it's been beautiful here. Now it's hot and tropical.
Humid. What can we expect? Because it's coming our way on Thursday.
Well, it's going to be the remnants. You know, living in Philly all those years, you know, it always comes up the coast, and then you get the weekend of rain. And it's been a good summer so far, so people can't really complain up there. I mean, there's been a lot of great weekends to go to the shore, do your vacation stuff. But, you know, when you're you get that house in, you know, at the shore for this particular weekend and it's going to be rainy, you know, you just go buy a $28 pizza on the boardwalk and go home and drink and eat. Just make sure if you're going to Ocean City, bring your own booze, stop at the Circle Liquor Store, load up, because you don't want to be caught dry and wet at the same time. Wet outside, dry inside, that's a bad combination.
Now,
that's traffic
enough,
and weather
though,
together right here.
If it's hot enough up there, you guys have to watch out for tornado warnings, right?
Yes.
Well, I don't think it's going to be that. I don't think it's...
Yeah,
it's a high.
Yeah.
The Circle
Come on, Robin, what is this here? This isn't climate change. It's called summertime.
No,
this is what happens every summer.
Yeah. When we were in New Jersey, we had tons of tornado warnings, and there was a really bad one.
Yeah, there was one tornado in the first time in like decades. Was it climate change, Robin, or was it weather?
It was weather.
It's damn weather.
As Tony Bruno.
I think a wise man once said on the show, which I believe is still in the system somewhere, all these weather people now want to be climatologists. Just give me the damn 5-day forecast and
just
shut the hell up.
Give me the damn 5-day forecast and try to be accurate. That's all I want.
That's all you want.
That's it.
Why I have that on the board?
I don't know, but it's hysterical.
Because it's important. Those are the kinds of reminders we have to keep providing to the people out there who want to get stuckered into listening to a weather meteorologist tell you about the climate. Just give me the damn 5-day forecast and shut the hell up.
I think it's so awesome that even after all these years, Nick is right inside Tony's head and knows exactly what he wants to play.
No, so that's Greg, actually, that's more inside my head.
You got it wrong, Robin. After working with Bruno, Bruno always remains in your head.
that's what it is. Okay.
Yes. All right, we got to roll. Great stuff, guys. Thank you.
All right, kids, have a great one. Be careful out there. Bring an umbrella, wear your rubbers, and don't forget the slickers. Ooh. Slicker.
Or the strapper.
Tampon Tim. Shake your wife's hand before you give her that reluctant hug.
That was weird.
Yeah. Come on, that's weird, right? Come on, that's weird.
That's really weird.
It looks so uncomfortable.
It does.
Like they don't normally have any kind of affection for each other. It was very strange.
Beards? Are they beards?
We're not.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Weird walls.
He came out in favor of the gay stuff all way before any other Democrat.
Yeah, that's good for him.
And then Tim Scott said,
"Who's against that? Nobody."
Yeah. Phil's rolling right now. You can see the weird. It's just the shake, the handshake, and then the bro pat on the back.
Yeah.
Dougie
left?
Not so fresh, like shaking his hands out before he starts hugging and giving a little kiss to his wife.
Reluctant little peck on the lips, too.
Wasn't a good kiss. He kissed Jill Biden more passionately than he kissed his wife. He like shakes off his shoulder, like, oh, and I got to go give her a kiss.
No, I'll be fair to him. He was shaking down his sleeve.
Yeah.
It was like,
no, watch Dougie not so fresh again.
Yeah, no,
he was like doing his shoulder thing, like, oh.
but the waltzes, they were not waltzing.
Yeah. No, they weren't. No.
No. It was like they just agreed to terms at domestic relations.
Yeah.
Hey, bud. Thanks, bud. Talk to you later, bud.
Yeah, I'll give you the $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
It's the beard waltz.
We don't know anything, but we're just, you know, it's putting pieces together here on Kale & Company this morning.
That's what we do.
It's just deep thinking here.
Deep thinking.
As Tony Bruno once said, questioning the answers and answering the question.
Damn right.
All right, get out of here.
All right, good night, everybody.
There he is. Good
night,
everybody.
Love you guys.
Good night, everybody.
I'm glad they're okay. I was worried about them.
Yeah. Yes. Physically, they're okay. Mentally, he might not be.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.